Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
When the Counselor comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Welcome. My name is Randall. I'm on the ministry team here at Deep Creek. It's my privilege to be preaching on this passage. I think it's just one of those high points in Scripture, this passage. So let me pray for us as we look at it. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would give us the humility to understand what Jesus the Son wants to speak to us through this passage. We pray that you would bring glory to Jesus as we look at this passage. We pray that you would bring understanding to us and lead us in your truth. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, who here has ever been at the top of a water slide, a bungee jumping thing, or maybe a ski slope and felt like you wanted to chicken out? Anyone? Just me? Like, I think most of us at some level. You know that feeling of your toes tingling as you sort of look over the edge, and I want to help you get that feeling. So just look where they're sitting. It's a girder above the streets of New York. There's no safety harnesses. They're just eating lunch, you know. I remember a time when I was younger with my family. We went to Dreamworld up in Queensland, and I was a teenager at the time. And my twin sister and I wanted to go down this water slide thing, and it was this really steep slope. It was almost vertical. And at the end of it was this pool. And so the idea was you hopped on this toboggan, you shot down this slope, and you sort of skimmed across the water at the end. Well, anyway, we got to the top. And as we hit the top, maybe you're finding this uncomfortable. I just thought I'd make it a bit easier. The safety harness is on now. So as we got to the top and we looked down, it was really steep. You know that feeling where your legs start to feel like jelly a little bit and your palms get a little bit sweaty? We were no longer feeling warm. It was Queensland. We should have been feeling warm. And suddenly you're looking around for an exit, wondering if there's some way that you can get off without losing face. do you want the picture down? I'm not sure how I wrangled it, but I managed to get my twin sister to go down first. She screamed all the way down, and well, being the boy, I had to follow, but I screamed internally. And there was this moment of weightlessness as we shot down. My legs felt like jelly and just skimmed across the water at the end. And then I wanted to do it again, of course, as you do once you overcome those fears. When God calls us to himself, it can feel a lot like this. When God calls us to step out in faith, it can feel a lot like this. The feeling of excitement, a feeling of uncertainty, maybe a need to look for a safer place. When you're out of your comfort zone in your faith, it can feel like this, like you want to find some solid ground somewhere else. When Jesus is speaking into our life through the Holy Spirit, challenging us, calling us, it can feel a little bit like this. If you're contemplating following Jesus, it can feel a lot like this, that uncertainty, that fear. But God continually leads us, comforts us, gifts us with these mountaintop experiences as he calls us forward. You see, God loves us so much. He wants us to live in the fullness of what he offers us in his Son, Jesus. See, in his Son Jesus, he offers us freedom, hope, healing, joy, peace, fruitfulness. And that's what he desires for each one of your lives. So this morning, we're going to look at the call of the Spirit, how the Spirit calls us forward, how the Spirit calls us to Jesus. The Spirit speaks what Jesus says. It says in this passage, and Jesus' words are, we can take comfort. Even as we feel unsteady, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At times you might feel like you're on the edge, but this is Jesus' call, come. And the Spirit speaks what Jesus speaks. So if you can get, in, as we look at this passage, we're looking into the lives of the disciples. So if you can get your head into the minds of the disciples, they've been led by Jesus on this journey up a mountain. And Jesus has taken them to the top and he's shown them what's on the other side. But they're sort of looking down. They're filled with grief because he said, I'm going to leave you. Their teacher who's been with them all this time, their beloved teacher, is going to leave them. And so they're uncertain on the top. It happens, doesn't it? Jesus leads us to a place. He gives us a sight, a focus of the future. And then it may feel like we look around, we count the cost, we're unsure about what's ahead. Our eyes get focused on our feet, our hearts turn to grief, our thoughts to bitterness, our relationships become bickering, offensive, unforgiving, and our hands get to work on trying to solve what is immediately in front of us rather than capturing the vision of what Jesus has set before us. See, Jesus is calling. He's equipping and preparing, and part of his preparation to the disciples is saying you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to have distractions. You're going to encounter trouble from a people that say they serve God. But these people don't really know the Father. These people don't know me. And Jesus said it's going to happen, but you need to hear what I say to you through the Spirit. You need to hear the Spirit's call. He's calling them to not look down, but to rise above. You see, Jesus said to them, it's better for me to go away. Why has he said to them, it's better for me to go away? Because if I don't go away, then you won't receive the advocate, that is the Holy Spirit. But if I go away, I will actually be with you always. I will be with you forever. So in my going away, it means that you will never have a time without me. Don't grieve. Soon you will never have a moment without me. But he says to them, wait for the Holy Spirit, the advocate, your advocate, to come. So we join them in this mountaintop, the Advocate has come. And so we look to the Holy Spirit, and this morning we're going to spend some time just reminding ourselves of who the Spirit is and His call on our lives. So let me remind you a little bit from the last sermon of who the Holy Spirit is. He is God. He is our Advocate. He is our Helper. He is forever with us. The Spirit of Truth lives in us, reveals, illuminates, and points to Jesus, invites us into the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's our God. He teaches us all things, brings the Bible to life, and continues to bring to life our revelation of Jesus. So how does the Holy Spirit call us? If you've got your Bible with you, I'd love you to open your Bible. We're looking at John 15:26. And the Spirit's first call is come to Jesus. In 26 it says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So that is when God the Son, Jesus, sends God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes out from God the Father, and he will testify about God the Son, Jesus. John expands on this. If you want to follow along, in chapter 16, looking at verse 7, he says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned." He will prove the world to be wrong. I've had many, many debates with non-Christians about Christian truth. I've not known anyone through those debates to actually come to be a Christian. It's not to say that our discussions are in vain or that the knowledge that they gain doesn't help them, but it's that they've never come to become a Christian through the debating. You see, it's not us that proves them wrong. It's the Holy Spirit who is able to prove the world wrong in regard to Jesus. You see, the mission of the Spirit is to expose heresy, to expose lies, to expose liars, to expose anything that will get in the way of someone coming to know Jesus. So why is this? Why does the Spirit focus on this? Well, the deepest brokenness of the world is that the world doesn't know Jesus. Look at all the poverty. If you look at the abuse, the suffering, the deepest issues of the world. Well, the deepest issue of this world is that it doesn't know Jesus. You see, if you were to introduce Jesus into brokenness, Jesus would do what he does naturally. He heals the sick, he binds up the broken, he delivers the captives. On the other hand, if you were to fix the issues without introducing Jesus, we leave the sick unhealed, the broken unbinded, the captives captive, just a little bit better off. It's not to say we don't fight injustice. We do, but we recognize that the call of the Spirit should be our call, and the call is to testify to Jesus. So how does this passage describe it? It says, the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin. Sin's a word that there's bandied around the world a lot. It's used by people, Christian, non-Christian. We don't often understand it. We often use it to describe things that we do, which we say are either moral things or not moral things. But I want to challenge your understanding on this, because I think sin at its deepest level is about what we believe. Not what we do, about what we believe. You see, it's in our hearts that sin resides, and what we say and what we do flows from that. If you were to, in a conversation with someone, just crush them, just say things that abuse them and bring them down, at some level, you must be, in that moment, believing something about yourself in relation to that person that allows you to do that, whether it's that person is an obstacle to your needs and your desires, or whether you have a low opinion of that person. In that moment, it comes from a belief that enables you to do that. When we, as Australians, cause an injustice to people groups, it's not just because we do injustice. It's because at some level there is a belief down below that needs to be dealt with that would allow us to do injustice. Jesus says it himself, your evil thoughts and words flow out from an evil heart and bear bad fruit. Your evil thoughts and words flow out from an evil heart and bear bad fruit. So the core of the brokenness of our world is wrong belief, and this is sin. In this passage, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin. Verse 9, he starts with, about sin because people do not believe in me. He'll prove the world wrong about sin because people do not believe in me. Dutch theologian Herman Ridderbos said, the world's deepest misery and lostness do not consist in its moral imperfection, but in its estrangement from God and its refusal to allow itself to be called out of that condition by the one whom God has sent for that purpose. So the people will prove, so the Holy Spirit will prove the people wrong in their unbelief, that Jesus is who he says he is. Verse 10, and the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. Whose righteousness is it talking about? It's talking about the righteousness of Jesus. You see, Jesus through his words and his works, all through his life, declared that he is God. The Jewish leaders executed him for claiming to be the Son of God. They executed him as the King of the Jews. And in doing so, they thought they were serving God. They thought that they were serving truth, calling him, Jesus, unrighteous. But Jesus was vindicated as righteous. His words were vindicated as true. He was declared righteously to be the Son of God because he was raised from the dead, appeared to many witnesses, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. So when we look at as we approach Easter, Easter is the vindication of Jesus. It's about showing him to be the righteous one, the one righteous man. We see at the beginning of Acts, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit attesting to Jesus' death, resurrection and ascension in the Son of God, and we see people changing from unbelief to belief. The Holy Spirit proves the world wrong about Jesus. He is the one righteous man. Verse 11, and the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Jewish leaders judged Jesus. The Holy Spirit proves them wrong, because through Jesus, the prince of the world now stands condemned. Our world sees a war between good and evil. It sees a war between truth and lies. That we need to fight for purpose against emptiness and meaninglessness. It sees a war against life and fighting for life over death. And the Holy Spirit comes to prove the world wrong. There's not a war between good and evil, because Jesus is and will be the victor. It is no war. There's not a war to find the truth. You see, Jesus is the truth. There's not a war to find the way, because Jesus is the way. There's not a war to find life, because to know Jesus is to know life. Jesus is alive and the evil one stands condemned. And that's because the Holy Spirit is the one that proves it to us. So the first call of the Spirit is to find out who Jesus is, what he said, what he did, what this means, and ask yourself the question, do I believe? Is he who he says he is? And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you. If you're not seeing Jesus for who he reveals himself in Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit exists. His role is to reveal Jesus, to prove the world wrong, that Jesus is who he says he is. So the first call of the Holy Spirit is to come to Jesus, believe in him. The second call of the Holy Spirit is to know the truth. In John 15:26, we see that the advocate is called the Spirit of Truth. And the truth he testifies is about Jesus. If we look down at verses 12 to 13, Jesus says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." Jesus knew the apostles weren't ready for all he had to say. He knew they weren't ready to fully understand who he was and what he was actually accomplishing through going to the cross. But Jesus speaks to them after his departure by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds, we looked at in chapter 14, reminds the apostles what we have written here in God's word. Now, in this passage, Jesus says the Spirit of Truth will guide you into all the truth. He doesn't say all truth, like it's a wishy-washy, just in truth in general. He says all the truth. And so what he's saying here, what he's meaning is that there's not more truth about Jesus to come. There's not one revelation about Jesus that we have here in Scripture that was given to the apostles and the prophets, and we have written down here. There's not another revelation about Jesus to come because we have the revelation of the Spirit here. We can have absolute confidence that what we have written in this Scripture is the very Word of God telling us the truth about Jesus. Everything we need for salvation is in here. We don't need to look elsewhere. So if anyone tells you something about salvation that doesn't fit with what's in here, don't trust it. If anyone tells you anything about salvation, about Jesus, that doesn't fit with what's in here, don't trust it, because all truth is contained in here about Jesus. So as you read the Bible, have great confidence in it. But I think many of us, as we look in the Bible, we go, well, it's really hard. It's hard to understand. You look at this passage, and it is, at some levels, hard to understand. Well, in those moments, you're not alone. You're not alone because there's lots of people that find the passages hard to understand, but you're not alone because the Holy Spirit is always with us. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to show us truth, to help us to know truth, and he's with us forever. So every time you read the Bible, as a Christian, you have the Spirit with you, enabling you to know truth. So before we read, ask the Spirit. Spirit, speak to us. Reveal what you want us to learn from this passage. As you read, Holy Spirit, please help me to know the truth. Help me to understand this passage. And when you have trouble, don't search the internet. Don't call up Rod on speed dial. You've got the Spirit there with you. Pray. Step away from the text. Ask the Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is it in this text that you are saying? How am I meant to understand that? And as you pray, that the Spirit will guide you to other scriptures that will help you to understand. The Spirit will give you clarity and understanding. The Spirit will sometimes lead you to go away because you're still confused and talk to other people. But the reality is, if in that moment the Holy Spirit wanted you to understand that scripture in completeness, you would understand it. So you can take comfort that if you don't understand it right now, that it's not the Holy Spirit's will for you to understand it right there in that moment. But the Holy Spirit is the one that will enable you to understand it as you need. So the first call of the Holy Spirit is a call to come to Jesus, believe in him. The second call of the Holy Spirit is to know the truth. And the third call of the Spirit is live for Jesus and testify about him. See, the Holy Spirit's the one who calls us forward to live for Jesus. As the apostles came to Jesus, believed in him and know the truth, they were called to testify. So we have come to Jesus, believed in him, we know the truth, and we're compelled by the Spirit to testify to Jesus, to live for Jesus. The Holy Spirit calls us as a people to live for him. So he calls us forward in to live holy lives. And the Holy Spirit calls us to live holy lives through true belief. In the world and in our lives, we see people very often convicted about things, convicted about the wrongness of their own actions, but unable to live for what they know to be right actions. We see people with wrong moral behaviours, but a seeming inability to change those moral behaviours. It's because at the heart of a better world is a belief in Jesus. At the heart of a better world is a belief in Jesus who is able to transform what we believe, which transforms what we say and what we do. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is the one who is able to give us a truth encounter, the one who is able to work at the heart of our beliefs and make them holy. He's the perfect one to bring us truth as the Spirit of truth. So daily we need to ask the Holy Spirit, is there any false beliefs that I need truth applied to? Daily we need to ask the Spirit, is there any sin that I need to confess? And not just wait till that bit of the Bible actually appears before us. We need to come before in prayer and wait on the Spirit, that the Spirit may bring to our mind what it is that we maybe need to confess, whether it's false belief or something we've done to offend God. And we can trust in that the Holy Spirit will lead us to Scripture, that the Holy Spirit will lead us to truth, and that the Spirit will bring transformation from the inside out. The Holy Spirit also calls us to the mission of Jesus. As Jesus speaks to the apostles, he says, you've been with me from the beginning, you must testify. Now that's a call to the apostles, but the call to all of us is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a call for each of us. And so we receive a compulsion from the Spirit to be sent out on the mission of Jesus, because as Jesus says in verse 14, it's he, Jesus, that instructs the Spirit what he will make known. So if ever you're unsure and you feel like the Spirit is leading you, have confidence that it's not just the Spirit that is leading you, it's Jesus that is speaking to you through the Spirit in order to grow and build his church. The Holy Spirit sends us on the mission of Jesus. When we look to the Spirit for guidance, we're looking to Jesus. So when someone says to you, let's just ask what the Holy Spirit has to say on this, they're saying, well, let's just see what Jesus wants to say about it. And Jesus wants to speak to us because Jesus wants to lead his church. He's not a passive leader. It says that the Spirit will declare, tell you what is yet to come. Not a foretelling for foretelling's sake, but a foretelling so that the disciples who were led to this mountaintop by Jesus will be led beyond that mountaintop into the mission of Jesus and the growth of his church. Not a foretelling just so that the disciples may know things in advance, but a foretelling so that they may know how to serve Jesus, how to found his church, how his church may grow, so that the head of the church may be the leader. We as a staff team regularly, every Monday, we gather together and we pray. We wait on Jesus for any instruction he wants to give us about the church. As Christians, we should all wait on Jesus and ask him to lead us where he wants us so that we may serve the mission of the church. The danger is if we don't wait on Jesus, then we serve our own interests and not his. So, and we can have confidence as we do this because it is Jesus leading us. Jesus is the one who sends us out. He's not only sending us, he's leading us. So as you stand on the mountaintop, as you feel like God calls you to something else, maybe you've looked down, maybe you've looked back, maybe you've been discouraged. But know that Jesus is the one, as he calls you, who will lead you forward. So the first call of the Holy Spirit is a call to come to Jesus. The second call of the Holy Spirit is to know the truth. And the third call of the Holy Spirit is to live for Jesus, to testify about him and follow him into his mission for the world. Jesus has led us this morning to a mountain peak as we've looked at this scripture. Do you give in to fear? Do you look back? Do you look down? Do you get distracted? Or do you look for another? Or do you take hold of what he offers you, grasping it, knowing that he's good, that he will lead you, that he loves you, and that he is the one that reigns? I'm going to invite us to pray. I've got a prayer up on the screen. Let me read it first. It says, Lord Jesus, please send the Holy Spirit to help me believe in you. Please send the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth about you to me. Please send the Holy Spirit to show me how I could serve you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, if you are willing, I'd like to invite you to pray out this prayer with me. Just as a sign of your humility before God and your desire for the Spirit to lead you into what Jesus has in store for you. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, please send the Holy Spirit to help me believe in you. Please send the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth about you to me. Please send the Holy Spirit to show me how I can serve you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.